How fitting that she was up here holding a babe this night reading scripture. I love that. Mary and Joseph were getting ready for a trip. Not a vacation, but it was a trip nonetheless. And not to a bustling metropolis like Rome or Athens or a coastal getaway on the Mediterranean Sea. No, they're leaving small town Nazareth for even smaller Bethlehem, sitting on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And I'm sure Mary and Joseph didn't want to go to Bethlehem. It wasn't a fun trip. It was a government mandate. And since there was no place for them to stay, they must not have had any really close relatives or friends there. It's not like they could go online and book a room at the local hotel. Joseph would have to wait till they arrived and hope they could find an empty spot. Staying home was not an option. The Roman government wanted an accounting of all people and decreed that to register, one must return to the town of their ancestry. And what Rome wanted, Rome got. For Joseph, as a direct descendant of King David, that meant he traveled to the city of David, Bethlehem. And it wasn't that they had anything against Bethlehem, mind you, but Mary was full with child and she could go into labor any day. How in the world could they put the Son of God at risk by taking a several-day journey over rough terrain? God would surely have to protect them and provide for them, as he had done so far. And so they left for the city of David. And it says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. What a simple statement. It's a matter of fact. Devoid of a lot of details. While they were there, she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. While they were there, they couldn't find a place to stay. While they were there, Joseph had to look at a dirty animal shelter and think, no way. Might have been a cave, maybe a lean-to type of shed. I can't put Mary in here. I can't let the Savior of the world be born in here. This wasn't part of their plan. Oh, they had it all figured out back home. Nice clean linens on the bed, plenty of water nearby, lots of towels, a midwife ready to show up at a moment's notice. The carpenter had lovingly handcrafted a crib for the baby and plenty of friends and relatives to help them out after Jesus was born. And no animals breathing down their necks, and no messes to step around. But that was before the decree. That was before the trip. That was before the while they were there. One year, we took a trip to see our friends Don and Brenda Young. And they lived on the outskirts of Cincinnati, right across the Ohio River from Kentucky. And Kentucky is famous for racehorses. And while we were there, Don and Brenda took us out for a bit of sightseeing. Our kids were still young, and so they were with us. And while we were out, we drove past a huge horse farm. And I mean manicured pastures, immaculate white wooden fences surrounded the entire facility. And Don asks if we wanted to see some horses. And he proceeds to drive up the drive of this, I'm sure, a multi-million dollar horse facility. He doesn't know them. They don't know him. He just gets out and says, hey, can we see some horses? And they let us. And our little horse lover, Anna, was in heaven. Gina and I were a bit mortified. We were wondering if law enforcement would show up at any minute and escort us off the place. But let me tell you, those stables were perfect. Joseph and Mary would have felt like these stables were the Marriott if they could have stayed in such a nice place. It wasn't part of our plan, but it was a good while they were there moment. Several years later, our kids grown and out of the home, we went on a trip to Colorado with dear friends or Aunt Rhonda. And one day, we're just out walking in the mountains. Hiking would be an overstatement. And we're taking in the beauty of God's creation. And after supper, we went back to our prospective rooms, and While we were there, Rhonda's heart stopped beating. The ambulance was called. Desperate prayers were lifted up across several states. And the next day, we found ourselves in a hospital waiting room, sitting and pacing and crying and even laughing some and praying. Don't forget praying. Not knowing if Rhonda would ever take a breath on her own again. You know the outcome because Rhonda was guiding our kids in the Christmas program last Sunday. But what happened in Colorado certainly wasn't part of our plan. Gina has said we went to Colorado to see the mountains. What we saw was God moving mountains. And it just happened while we were there. I'm sure Joseph didn't feel like this was a good while they were there moment. He's scrounging up some rags, shoveling manure out of the way, and wiping out a manger, trying to find some fresh hay to put in it. You know, we had a Christmas morning tradition when we were growing up. Go out and feed the cows and horses just like any other day. And oh, maybe we got to wait till 9 instead of 7, but we still had to trudge out there with mud boots on if it was snowy or wet. Our barn area was not quite as clean as the ones we saw in Kentucky. And so after coming back in, the boots were caked with mud and other stuff. And they had to stay on the back porch. There was no way my mom would knowingly let them in the house. And yeah, you could scrape them off. But the stench was still there. And I just kind of think that's what Joseph is dealing with. While Mary is trying to find a comfortable spot to lay down. But how fitting is it that Jesus was born into a while they were there mess? Because when he was born, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords stepped into our mess. Our glorious Creator put on flesh and he made his dwelling among man. And while he voluntarily lay aside some aspects of deity, Jesus was still fully God, yet he was also fully human. Jesus experienced the human condition, probably the lowest of human conditions. He was born among livestock to poor parents. He was for the most part homeless during his ministry years. He knew every emotion and every condition we all experience. For all humanity on this earth is, the messiest thing about us is our sin. Jesus never sinned himself, but he bore the punishment for our sins on the cross. And as gross as it is, dirt and manure wash off with a bit of soap and water. But the messes we make with our sin, they're a bit more, well, messy. We should thank God that Jesus didn't come down and look at our addictions and tell us, nope, too nasty. You'll have to clean that up a bit before I enter into your life. He doesn't knock upon the door of our marriage and snort, "No, I don't think I want to come in. It's too messy for me. When you get that straightened out, then I'll join you." He didn't look at our brokenness. The brokenness we have because of others, the brokenness that we inflict upon others, the brokenness we bring upon ourselves due to our own sin, and just decide to forget the whole plan about stepping into human flesh. One devotion I read in Family Life Today reads, "God was saying, your mess is my mess. You needed me, and so I came all the way into this." And while they were there, a baby was born. "And you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The Son of God grew into a man, and as the original language says, he tabernacled with us. And so Jesus came to the earth. And while Jesus was here, he walked among us. While Jesus was here, he loved unconditionally. While Jesus was here, he healed diseases. While he was here, he cast out demons. And he walked on water. And he fed multitudes. While Jesus was here, he forgave sins. And while Jesus was here, he raised the dead. While Jesus was here, he brought the very words of God. He lived a perfect life. And while Jesus was here, he died in our place. But while Jesus was here, he rose from the dead. And then he ascended into heaven. Jesus came to bring salvation to all who will turn to him to have the mess washed off. Not with a garden hose or a hot bath, but with the very blood he shed on the cross. While he was here, he saved us. And he's still saving us. And he's making us into his image. He's changing our hearts from hardness to holiness. And God does that by using our while we were there moments. With these moments, he shapes and he molds. And sometimes he breaks us so he can put us back together better than we were before and be useful to his kingdom. We move briefly to the shepherds. They were in the fields doing their jobs. And while they were there, some angels show up. First one, and that was scary enough. "Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people." I love that line. Jesus is for all people, especially messy people. And while there was nothing glorious about Jesus' surroundings, the angel still said, "Glory to God in the highest." And the shepherds were amazed that the Son of God was revealed to them. They were the messiest of the messy. And so what mess are you dealing with this Christmas? Maybe you've lost a loved one or had a close call. Maybe you've made some bad decisions or you've hurt someone deeply. Or maybe you've been hurt deeply. Dealing with a sin you just can't seem to shake. Whatever your mess is, God loves you and he is with you in it. And he's not surprised by it. It's not too dirty. It's not too stinky. He gets it. He is Emmanuel, God with us. That's what he does while he's here. Christmas is all about stepping into our world so we can step into his. And we can only do this through faith. We need to make a decision while we are here so one day we will be there. In heaven with Jesus. In heaven, there are no messes. Those have all been handled. And so while we are still here, while we wait for that glorious day when we see Jesus face to face, our job is to take the message of the love of Christ to a world so desperately in need of the one who can save them from their mess. To tell people about the hope and joy that we have as we celebrate the birth of our Savior and the peace that we receive when we surrender every while we were there moment and surrender every mess.